Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
EQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, Intruder Alert. EQ 3, Intruder Alert.
Hello, good evening, and welcome once again to Madame Perry's Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I'm your host and cruise director, Madame Perry, or you can call me Jennifer Perry, or my Brit friends, I'm J. Maud, or J. Maudette Perry. So, but whatever it is, you know, I'm here to bring you some of the most fantastically interesting and talented people that I can find. And I've been very, very fortunate to know so many people or have so many people agree to come on the show. First of all, let me thank you, all my listeners. You have just made this show explode lately. I remember a time when I thought it would be great if I could get up to, 500 listeners a month. And now on my stats, I'm getting over 1,000 per day. Live that go on and listen and download and on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and that's very exciting to me. And that helps me get cool sponsors, and it helps me get great guests. Just to mention a couple of people that were on recently that have messages, David Fischoff was on a couple of weeks ago, and his offer still stands. You know, he's the guy that he's a sports and entertainment agent, producer for years. He's the one that created the whole idea of the Ringo Starr All-Star Band that tours and put that together. And he also created Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. And September Fantasy Camp is the Judas Priest edition, although there will be people besides Judas Priest there working there, like Rudy, our friend Rudy Sarzo from Quiet Riot, and Ozzy's band that was on a few months back. And David Fischoff says anyone who signs up, registers for the September Judas Priest edition of Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp and says they heard about it on Madame Perry's Salon, he will give you a guitar worth $700. He didn't tell me what kind, but he said a guitar worth $700 he will give you just because you signed up and said you heard about it on Madame Perry's Salon. Not too shabby. And coming up soon, we're going to have, Michael Fleeman's coming back. Michael Fleeman, who's a true crime author, he's got two books out this year. He was on back in February. He's coming back in a couple of weeks with a new book about a man that killed two of his wives. He's married twice and killed them both. You see him a lot on TV shows like Snapped and Forensic Files, but he's also going to be on a new Escape Network show as a regular commentator. So Michael Fleeman was so much fun. He's a great writer. When I had him on before, he had mentioned that he was right. It was about his book, Crazy for You, about the Rusty Snyderman murder that happened right here in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's amazing. When I had forgotten some of the aspects of it, and I lived in Atlanta and followed it, especially the part where he said, where Hemi Newman, the guy who was arrested and charged and imprisoned for killing his lover's husband, Rusty Snyder, claimed insanity. And I said, you know, people can look down their nose at that all they want, but anybody to kill somebody in broad daylight at a daycare center in Dunwoody, Georgia, where the traffic in the morning and the rush hour is so heavy and thinks they can get away with it, yes, I would say give them the insanity defense. Even before he said that an angel came to him that looked like Stevie Nicks and spoke like Barry White, even before that, I would have just gone with it. But anyway, so we got him coming to also the queen of metal, the first woman you ever heard shred, and I mean shred, the guitar, Lita Ford. She's going to be coming soon, too. She's on tour right now, and we're looking forward to having her. I just finished reading her book, Living Like a Runaway. So, but tonight, I'm so sorry. This is a guy that I met, and it's one of those things where you meet somebody in the most, it's kind of like a magical situation. It was this lovely little shop in Asheville, and it had crystals and synthetic music equipment. And Club Wendy that ran it was just an enchanted lady, and she had a performance area and a little lounge. And I heard these two musicians, Matt Townsend, whom you've heard on here before, and Valet Harrington, who just took my heart. And that is who I want you to welcome to Madame Perry's Salon tonight. Valet Harrington, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and I'm glad you could make time for us. As you see, I did tell you it looked like the inside of Jeannie's bottle, and so if it's a little too dim in here for you, we'll light a candle or something.
For sure.
To sit on, and you never know who's going to be coming through those little beaded curtains on the doors. So right now, and this is a great time for you to be on too, because you've been on a pretty busy Southeastern tour.
Yeah, we've already been pretty busy lately.
I mean, you're going through what? You've been through both Carolinas, Georgia. Where all have you gone the last few weeks and coming up?
Well, we've been just trying to stay busy lately. I actually just got off of a tour out west, but I was playing with my friends called My Girl, My Whiskey and Me. I had a progressive bluegrass band, and I've been playing banjo for them, and I was just opening for them and then playing for them during their sets out west, and then just did some solo shows on the way back, and we just got back to Greenville, reformatted the band while I was gone, and so we've just been getting all that in order, and we just played an event downtown Greenville called Downtown Alive, and we have the next couple weeks off, but then we're going on a little run with our friend's brother Oliver in support for their CD release, and we'll be going on from there.
Yeah, because I caught you on television. And downtown Greenville has some really nice places. Greenville, South Carolina,
it really
folks,
does.
If you haven't been there. Yeah, I mean, I know because, you know, I've got some of my in-laws live around there, and I've been there a few times, and I've set up events for clients there and put them out before in different places. But I went last year to see somebody, a client of mine, playing, sitting in with a band at the Boulevard, Blues Boulevard. And just walking around the downtown area, all the places. I saw you on television last week or the week before, and I thought, he's sounding better than ever. I've got to get this man. I got to get him on here. So did you enjoy it? Did you have a good crowd? Was it very receptive?
Yes, it was.
Did you feel the love?
I did. It's been really good. When I first met you, I was still living back in my hometown of Aiken. This is right outside of Augusta, Georgia. It's on the South Carolina side. And I moved up here about 2 years ago, and it's been really good. I've met some great people. I've been able to form a great band, and Greenville's definitely on the way up for sure.
Yeah, really. It's so just for people who happened to, and I'm not going to get into this very deeply at all, I'm just going to say for a lot of people I've seen, you know, put something on social media about, oh, Southern this and that, you know, culture and some negative things. I go, look, you don't know us all. You know, you don't know all of us. And there's a lot of wonderful places to go with very, very warm and friendly people, and that will just open their arms and welcome everyone in. And Greenville has a lot of those places. So you were talking about you the new format of the band. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, while I was gone, I tend to have a tendency with bandmates to where we start picking up speed, and then they decide they want to move overseas. And so that happened recently. I had it with Violetta Garrett when we started picking up speed on that, and then this new format of it, which is just my original songs, just the Vila Harrington, the Hamptons, our guitarist Connor, which he did a great job and everything, but he just felt called. He got a job opportunity in Austria, and so he's moving over that way. And then our trumpet player, he is in the band Brother Oliver, that I mentioned earlier. And that was the thing all along, was, you know, he just was getting everything in order for his project, helping us out while he could. And so now that they're picking up speed, it was just me and Matt, my bassist. We had to figure out exactly which direction we were going to go. So we talked to some friends and some people we used to live with and other, you know, musicians in the area, and we were able to get a good powerhouse group together. And so really thankful that now we have, it's the, like what we debuted the other night was a 5-piece band with we have Ryan McCarthy on drums, Adam Bachman on lap steel, and then our good friend Robert Gawin, who's in My Girl, My Whiskey and Me with me as well, and also fronts the band Wasted Wine. He's playing violin with us, and it's really nice to have these songs for a while and be able to have just a solid crew of invested musicians that are, you know, willing to bring it more into fruition. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, now let me back you up here. Let's go over this. Let's go over this instrumentation, because this is pretty fascinating. Okay, you play guitar.
Yes.
You have someone play. Okay, you play guitar and banjo. You've also mentioned a lap steel, a trumpet, a violin, and what else? You have a bass?
We got upright bass and drums. Right now. Our trumpet player is kind of in and out, so we can't get him right now since he has his own project. But we have a good time, and we like to be unique with it, and we're kind of just we're willing to try new things with it. And so we're having a really fun time. We're just one of those bands that kind of people don't know how to describe us. Like, you know, with their latest article, they put us as bluegrass, which I don't think we are. But, I mean, it happens.
No.
So, yeah, we get bluegrass. we get alt country. We get Americana. We get soulful Americana. Like, it's just this. People don't know folk. We don't know. They don't know exactly how to label us, which I'm kind of okay with that. It's kind of just fun to see what people label us as.
And say, just come on down. We got something you like. Yeah, and the thing is, I think when I put on their Soulful Americana, and I thought, oh, I should have checked with you about that. But I said it because to me, you know, that was what I felt when I said, speaks to the mind and caresses the heart. I thought that's what I hear. That's what I get when I'm listening to you.
Exactly. Well,
so
we'll
I figure, you know.
I mean.
Good. Because I thought, yeah, I never want to offend, you know, a guest, a musician.
Oh,
but but I think to me that's one of the things about music that I like, that people can have different interpretations of it. That's one reason. That's one reason why sometimes I don't really care. I may not always want to watch a music video because of some of these concept videos, because everybody gets their own feeling, you know, and the way the music speaks
right.
to you specifically. It's a powerful force, and it can give you some healing when you're hurt. It can just get you picked up when you need a little pick-me-up. It can be your friend, something you ride with, you know, and I think everything people hear in your way. And that's part of the beauty of it. So now this format is what you're calling My Girl, My Whiskey and Me?
No. This is V. Light Harrington and the Handstones. So it's like the songs that you heard before and some new ones that I've written. Just put that band behind them.
Okay, finally, I like that.
Formatted band.
Okay, and let me stop right here to say that if you're listening to us live here on Monday night, August 15th, you can call in and talk to Vali Harrington at 646-716-9922. And that number, again, 646-716-9922. It is toll-free in the continental U.S. And so, Vali, you also, you've got this funny description of yourself on some of your social media, what, hillbilly, half Samoan, and so forth, and okay, all right, and something about influences from Polynesian ancestors and down south kinfolk. One thing I put in here is I said, you know, among your many widely diverse influences, Hank Williams, Sam Cooke, Three Dog Night as influencers, so that's a whole lot of questions at once. So why don't you break that down for people just meeting you?
Well, it happens a lot, and it's been happening a lot more lately. With my name and just being vaguely ethnic and looks, like, there's always the people who are just like, oh, well, they, you know, people think of putting things in a box, and we're really not that way at all. Especially how we format things, but my dad is part Samoan, and he grew up in Hawaii, and he met my mom in Aiken where I grew up with her, and basically everything that I heard in the car growing up, like in the different cars I rode in, was what ended up influencing me, and but for me, most of it was it was a lot of just the old soul. Being from the Aiken Augusta area, it was, you know, I'm from the hometown of James Brown, so it was a lot of soul, and then people like Larry John Wilson, and some really great influences and great people around me that taught me a lot. And it's one of those things of just people, you know, politely asking, "What are you?" a lot, and so I kind of just put that on, like, on the pages, so people don't have to ask that question.
Okay, all right, but I can see. Well, you know, there's another guy in Asheville. That's in Asheville, actually. I keep forgetting you're not in Asheville because that's where I met you, but you're in North Carolina. Ben Fong, who is, I guess part mountain and part Vietnamese is sort of how he puts it. And I think he just went to Vietnam for the first time to visit relatives over there. So I can't wait till he comes on in a few weeks and tells us what that was like. You know, it's going to be a big culture shock for him. You know, you can't prepare somebody completely for a different culture, but I think he'll probably have some great stories. So is your family, do you have family members that were musicians or musical or in entertainment in any way?
Well, my dad always liked to sing. My mom did too, but Lord help her, she can't keep a tune in the bucket. But
no.
But my great uncle, Al, he's still doing the entertainment thing in Hawaii. He was the Ben Kukui on the original Hawaii 5-0, and he's always just
really?
An entertainer. Al Harrington. And there's been people here and there. My grandfather always liked to sing. He's the one that bought me my first instrument, and like on the Samoan side, Walter. And there's a little bit of it in the family, but. And all my cousins, like, they were actually the ones that got into it before me. They were all singing and playing and, you know, like, they were the star-studded child, you know. They were playing, they were like, you know, they were varsity on their team by freshman year and, you know, playing and swimming all the people. But, there's always been, everyone's enjoyed the arts in my family, and I think that we all, like, it's still a big part of our lives no matter what we do.
So how old were you when you started playing?
playing. I actually was later in years when I started playing instruments. I'd already fooled around, like, growing up with ukulele because we had some around because my dad and my grandma always had some. I always wanted to play banjo, but we didn't really have the budget for one growing up. And so I really didn't start playing, and really focusing on my craft till probably senior year in high school.
And so that's when, and then did you start a band in high school like most people do, or?
I did. I went to a small Christian school, and me and my friends, we would all play. Everyone that was on my basketball team, we also were in the worship band for chapel and all that. And I did some of that, but I didn't have a solidified band. And it wasn't until my freshman year in college, I'd come back home on the weekends and started writing with a friend and doing everything, and bought myself a banjo and just started going from there, really.
I've got some music here of yours. I don't know which one to play first.
Either one.
Well, okay. why don't you? Oh wait, I don't think one. Okay, one of them hasn't come up yet. I'll have to get it while the other one's playing. All right. Tell us what is Sandhills Roll Mix?
Well,
I do have them both. Never mind.
As a Sandhills Roll, it's a rough demo. I just thought it'd be good. These are more into fruition of what the band is now. Sandhills Roll is just a demo that we recorded actually at the house. We're about to go into the studio and doing it, so this is a little treat for the listeners that won't be able to hear out otherwise right now. But I wrote it a long time ago about home and about old flame and just kind of the pairing of the two and how they relate to one another. And Sandhills is the area of South Carolina I'm originally from, like Aiken, Columbia, like all that area is the Sandhills. So it's a lot of sand and no ocean. So.
All right.
Well, land of the
so we're going to go ahead now and play. Yeah, true. Sandhill Roll. Sandhills Roll from Vali Harrington. Thank you. All right. You said you made that recording at home?
Yes, we did it at
It's got a nice cozy feel to it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Pardon?
Thank you.
So now you said you've been on a West Coast tour lately. You come back in, go around the South. Tell us where – now, you still do some solo work. I've seen some pictures of you just – you playing with the guy who plays stand-up bass. Where do you have coming up in the next few weeks?
Well,
the
next thing that we have is going back home to my home area in Augusta, Georgia. We're playing Soul Bar with our friend's brother, Oliver. We're going to bring the full band down for that. And then the next week after that, I'm doing just a duo run with my dobro player with our good friend from California, Margo Silker. And we're just going to do just a regional run of, I think we got like a smaller show here in the area in Piedmont in a new brewery called Golden Grove and a great farm-to-bottle brewery. And then we're doing, we got a house show in Charleston and then a show at Phoenix and the Fox and Brevard.
Oh, okay. That's a nice nice roundabout bunch. Now, when you travel a lot, do you have, I'm guessing you've got friends all over and you've got fans all over. Does it help you to say like, okay, well, you know, Amanda Palmer, the entertainer Amanda Palmer, she said she would crowdsource for places to stay for her band to get places, you know, so she could save money on the road and ask people to let them stay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you have the opportunity to do that? To have because I would think that you know so many people that they would just sort of say, yeah, please, come stay here.
The biggest thing is, like, with the venues, I'll ask them sometimes because, like, some of the places around here, they're really great about that, and they actually have spots, like, above the venue or things like that. Also, just the biggest thing is, like, one thing that's great is a lot of people don't realize when they look at all of us in, like, South Carolina and Georgia and North Carolina, too, is all of us run into each other musician-wise at some point. And so, you know, we try to do our best, like, when we have people in our hometown, host them, and, you know, if we're in town. And also, you know, we build a network that way as well. So, like when we go down to Charleston, lots of times we stay with our friends, the Mobros, which they tour around a lot, or our friend John Brooker, or just like other musicians. Lots of times, it just works out to where we're not on the road at the same time, which it's worked out this so far. But all of us are getting so busy that it might not work that way forever.
Which, by the way, this is a good time since we're halfway in. This is a good time for me to put in a plug, and definitely shameless plug for my business, Lone Wolf Communications, because, you know, I do entertainment publicity. And I have been running a webinar called Promote This, DIY Publicity for Authors. And now I've had one, people say, well, what about musicians, something more specific? So now I'm doing one called Promote This, DIY Publicity for Musicians. And right now, it's normally $89 per person. It's 90 minutes packed full of things that professionals know. These are things that I learned in school, but things I also learned working for HBO, documentary premieres, Feld Entertainment, handling Hispanic media for them for High School Musical on Ice. I worked, you know, working with the promoting the book for The Private Chef of Mel Gibson. Things like that, you know, work I've done for different people. That means I can give you a lot of information and a little time on this webinar, but it's $89. But for August, I'm doing a 2-for-1, partly because usually for musicians doing this for themselves, you're also doing everything else, you know, because people don't know you have to be every job. You have to be the booker, the manager, find a place, the logistics and so forth. And if you have a friend who can do this to help you out. So I figured that way the musician can listen, can do the webinar, and bring a friend, a cousin, a spouse, a partner who says, well, you know, I've got some spare time. I can help you if I know what to do. So right now in August, it's 2-for-1, $89. And here's another thing, I guess, that goes along with asking about your travel is that a lot of times at Christmas, people will say, oh, what's a good musician gift or good author gift? And people come up with stuff like, you know, things like T-shirts or little signs or whatever. But I say, no, give them something they can use. Like you can get gift cards for airplanes, you know, different amounts. I say, give them some gas cards that you can get, you know, anywhere, the grocery
gas
store.
Gas cards. A big bag of rice. Like, those are all great things.
Gas cards, dinner cards, you know, for restaurants, travel, mm-hmm. anything like that. You know, because people might think it's not, but I would say, yeah, you guys appreciate that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And a
lot of things that's helped us on tour, like the last one that we did on the way back, my aunt and uncle out in Idaho, they just gave us a bunch of things like rice and stuff like that. Because they know that, you know, you got to be economical about it and you can't just be going out to eat all the time. But also, like, things like having rice and, like, tuna and avocado and stuff like that, like, it might not be the most glamorous meal, but it gets the job done, and you know, it'll fill you up. And you gotta do that, and like just people being able to do things like that, or you know, like people that we've stayed with on tour, they just like, well, how can we help you? Like, you know, just like you know, they wanna give us cash and things like that, which is great. But also at the same time, even just filling up our React tank just makes all the difference, because that's, you know, that's another 500 miles we can go without spending, you know, close to $100. Like, it's and that makes all the difference.
Yeah, and it also, you know, like you said, the rice, tuna, avocado, that way you can have something that you can make that's healthy. You're not going through,
exactly.
You're not going through a fast food and just filling up on empty calories.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which wouldn't help you. So that gives you something decent. I had a TV show in the 90s, and a lot of my guests were musicians, and I had a segment for a while called Musicians Road Recipes, and I would say, you know, people don't realize sometimes the middle class in the arts, very, very thin, you know, you're either dirt poor, you're just struggling to get by, or you can afford to trash the hotel room and your record company pays for it, but in the middle, you know, what do you do? So I would ask different people what they did for road meals, and people would come up with stuff like, you know, well, let's see, when your car overheats, you figure that's a good time to go ahead and stop and eat. So, you know, you've got a little pot, you know, a little carry around a little saucepan, a little pot, put some water in it, ramen noodles, put it on top of that overheated radiator, and when it explodes, it's done. So, and people come up with all kind of stuff.
You know, like, we did a lot of ramen
sandwich
and rice.
Yeah.
Road classics, like gourmet road classics. Like, the biggest thing we did when we were on the like, I learned a lot of it because the first people I went on tour with, my friends were on Strands, and I was just opening for them. And it was just the three of us in the van all the time. And literally, it was just, if we had a stop where we were at a house, we cooked the biggest pot of rice you could ever think of. And it was just like, you know, canned chicken or tuna and rice for most of our meals. It was weird. I grew like an affinity for it. Like, I think every now and then, like, you know what? You know, I'm missing the road. I'm gonna have my, you know, $3 meal.
I'm homesick for the road. Let me have one of my, let me have a little comfort road meal. That's so cool. you know, I think about those shows like Chopped on TV, where they give people a basket of stuff and they got to make something
mm-hmm.
out of it. Ever feel like that? That's what I do. Like I haven't got groceries, but I think, okay, what have I got? And what would I do if I was on that show and I had just this, this, and this to put a meal together? You know, I've started playing again with my jazz combo, and I share a lot of musicians with a well-known blues singer, Francine Reed. And a couple of times when, say, I did a corporate gig and my drummer is Argentinian, so he would speak Spanish to the people that worked the catering, and they would end up bringing to our dressing room lots and lots of food.
Nice.
Because, you know, Omar charmed him. And a couple of the musicians, I'd say, oh, you know. Some of them play with people like, what is Nat King Cole's brother's name? I cannot remember. But anyway, some of these blues people or Christian McBride, these people play with some big heavy hitters when they're not with me. And so I'd ask all of them, I say, oh, do you get this kind of food when you're with, you know, when you're in New York with Christian McBride or this or that, or Freddie Cole or something, you know, and they go, oh, no, I don't get this. And then one person says, well, the singer I'm with, I won't name which one, would put a limit on us. Okay, you can eat this much, stop, the rest of it's going in Tupperware right now, Ziploc bags, that's what we're going to eat on the road. Oh, well, you got to plan, you got to plan ahead. Like that.
Man.
So the last place I gigged with some of these guys, you know, it was the same thing. There was free food for everybody. They sent them home with, like, bags of sandwiches and stuff and desserts. And I said, okay, well, you guys can just keep on rolling.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it is having gigs like that. Like, if you can get a free meal or like, being on the road, like, you know, it's not the gig that you're going to, you know, get things off of, but like you know, you take some weddings and stuff because you can't be having that every now and then. You want to have shows, but like you got, like, I mean, if you can do a wedding and play for 2 hours and get paid well and a meal and some, you know, some beverages, you can't, like, just having that little bit of luxury while on tour is such a, like, every now and then it's just a little treat. Nice.
Oh, definitely. And I'm saying this, you know, not just us talking, but also for anybody listening that wants this, ever hired a musician or thought about hiring musicians for, you know, an event. This is a big point. This, because I do jazz, I've got a few regular musicians that also get calls from other people. So, you know, I've got my little group, and if this one's already booked, then I've got the other ones, and they all know each other. So it's not, you know, it's just the way we do it. In jazz,
right.
That I'll use that as a big selling point. When I put some of the information, I go, is it this place, this time, it pays this much money, and tell them about the food. You know, but I put that in with what I submit to them, so because I figured that could be the difference between this and another gig, you know? Maybe,
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah, free meals make all the difference. Because, like, a lot of times, like a lot of venues, like, if they have food, if they have a food truck, usually they have a contract with the food truck or their meals there, and they, you know, they come out a little more scot-free sometimes, and I feel like a lot of newer venue owners don't understand that sometimes, and that you can, especially if it's earlier in the week, you can give me a little bit less money as long as I have a meal, because the meal makes all the difference.
Uh-huh.
That stops us from spending another, you know, like if we had to go pay for a meal of that same value, it would have been, you know, I would have been another, close to another $100 overall in the band before tip, you know what I mean? And so if we can just get the meal and tip our waitress, you know, and just we're good to go. Like, it makes all the difference on the road.
Exactamente, mi amigo. Hey, if you're listening live tonight, August 14th, talking to Vali Harrington, call in and talk to us. It's 646-716-9922. And while we were talking, I put up a picture of your uncle, Al Harrington, on Facebook. Al Harrington, the original detective, Ben Kukua, on Hawaii 5-0. Watch that show every week, kid. So, yeah, he's a good-looking man. So, good luck.
That
runs in your family, doesn't it? It's like
so.
You got the best of all cultures there. And now I've got, let's play some more music. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything you want to tell us? You want to lead us into Knee Deep?
Yes. This song, I wrote a while back, and it was on the latest solo album that I had. But we brought it with a band and retooled it a little bit. This is a live version. We actually might be releasing it soon. Again, both of the songs that I played tonight, this is the only time you're able to really hear them at the moment. And so this is actually a live version at one of our favorite house show series in Charleston, South Carolina, called Embassy Files. And this is just with our old guitarist, Connor, and me, Matt, and Andrew, our trumpet player, which is a little more stripped down version of it. But I think it turned out really well, and it brought the essence of everything out.
All right. Knee deep. Here we go.
Next one is another one of the ones I wrote a long time ago, but we brought it to life. It's called Knee Deep. I think it's a little relevant to today. I think it's relevant all the time. But yeah, it's called Knee Deep.
I love that. And you know what else I love? And especially, I think, because it's live, too. The instrumentation that you put together, it might sound sometimes a little bit unconventional, and yet it works so beautifully. And the trumpet just it just gives a different kind of a warmth and a soulfulness to that too.
Definitely, yeah. I really enjoy having Andrew around. He really adds a lot to it.
And so now, where does Andrew do? Do most of your musicians live near you, or
do
you have to pick them
do.
Up going out of town?
We all live around the Greenville area. I just moved to Greer, which is in between Greenville and Spartanburg. But then Matt lives mm-hmm. downtown, and then Andrew lives in Taylor's, which is not too far from me, and then Adam lives in Tigerville, and Robert lives in Taylor's. So we all live just off of Wade Hampton, basically, like off of Highway 29. So not too bad.
Yeah, I know that area real well because my sister-in-law and her family live in Greenville, and then about 5 minutes away from their house is where my mother-in-law lives in Taylor's. So
okay,
I know
yeah.
the Wade Hampton hood
mm-hmm. yeah.
real well. So, yeah, some nice stuff out there. It's a very nice area. So what would you consider just your dream gig? If you were going to go on some kind of event, you do a lot of festivals, I know. But
we try to, yes.
One guest I had on here recently, Athena Bass, she's a drummer for a group called Femme Fatale. She's also the younger sister of Tommy Lee, and
okay.
she was on a TV show called Ex-Wives of Rock. And her band plays on this cruise called Monsters of Rock cruise every year. And then, of course,
oh,
Lita
yeah.
Ford that's coming up, she's going to be on it the next one. What would be to you just a dream if you were in a cruise or festival or a tour of people, certain bands that you think were a great fit, that you'd like to work with, who would that be?
Honestly, I really had the pleasure of just having great musicians around me from the start, great bands and great people. Like our friends Sue Stowe are doing really well right now. Justin's just doing a solo tour with Band of Horses in Europe right now. And people
oh, nice.
Like them, the High Divers, She Returns from War. There's a lot of great bands from our area and in our field of music that are from South Carolina. And honestly, like, hey, we have a great time with them. And just being able to see them, because really it's the only time we get to hang out is when we play shows together and anymore, because we're all so busy. But you know, just for me, it'd be something to where I could just see all the beauty and showcase. Because the greatest thing about being on tour with people is I get to watch them play. And
mm-hmm.
But I mean, we really enjoyed playing with Susto and the High Divers are really great. We have our friends, you know, Marcus King. They're from our area too. But I think for me, bucket list things, like definitely I want to play Red Rocks one day. That's kind of like one of the pinnacle ones. But greatest thing for me is just being able to travel and play shows and we have the pleasure of playing with a lot of talented people already, and just being able to do that more often would be great.
Do you have – now, of course, you know, my stats on the show show that my greatest audience is in the U.S., next is the U.K., and France, or the top three in that order
for
listeners. So, yeah, I want to think about if you haven't already, put France on the trip, and that's where all your friends
who
listen to Madame Perry
to
and know that
to
give
tour.
You – I think you would be perfect. I think you'd be great. And – people, yeah, so give a like, you know, for Christmas or whatever, birthday, Kwanzaa, whatever. Give him gift cards of planes. Yeah, I think you can get like $25 things for certain airlines or 50. You can add those things
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Give him some frequent flyer
definitely.
Miles. Get him over there. And I think they would love you there.
It would be a great time. I've always thought about that, going over there.
Yeah, I think. From what I know of what I see, and what about the UK? That as well, I think.
Yeah, my friend's Twin Courage. They did that a couple years ago, and they just, you know, they're just an acoustic duo, and so they went over there and just took the train to every stop and played, and it was. And they said they had a great time, and I really would like to do that some point, hopefully soon. Everything's pretty crazy right now. We're in that limbo right now, getting to the next stop, you know. And but definitely something for the next coming years, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to predict that it will be within the next 20 months. And the reason I say that is because I am Madam Perry. Because a booking agent, I used to send my tapes back years ago. This back when we had cassette tapes. I sent them to a booking agent, and then finally one of them answered me, and she said, "Okay, I want you to play this party." "Oh, well, you're not playing. I need a fortune teller." So she goes, "I know you're not a fortune teller, but I figure you're funny. If I get Madame Belle, who was very famous in Atlanta at the time, she's going to tell them they're all going to die, and then they'll be depressed. But you'll make them laugh." And so I did that. I was a fortune teller at Usher's mother's New Year's party. But, oh, wait, we got a caller right here. Hold on a second. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. You're here with me and Valai Harrington. And is this the enchanted woman of whom we spoke?
I just got your message on Facebook, and I was like, you know what, I'll give you a call because I haven't been able to tune in. You know, I'm in Asheville and just got back from upstate South Carolina doing some promotion and spreading the love about this miraculous gathering that's coming together because of our beautiful community.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're listening, you know, if you don't know, this is Wendy Owens. Wendy, I want to get you as a guest on Madame Perry Salon sometime soon to tell us all about that. And also, because when I was promoting this with Valai, I started off by saying it was a charming venue with crystals, synthesizer equipment, and funky clothes, and I said, and the most enchanting woman, Wendy, who also had a lounge and a performance area.
Wow, I don't know what to say, but yeah, I mean, I'm known for the one that has had a huge awakening through electronic music. That's really what has led me to my knees in this path of like ceremony and deeper connection. You know, Tesla's right. If you understand frequency and vibration, you can unlock the codes to the universe. And I had a massive awakening listening to Boards of Canada that uses binaural beats. And, you know, I didn't know that they were connected to the Monroe Institute at the time. But, you know, I've been fortunate.
Oh, yeah. Really, every form of music you can find stuff to lock onto. But there is another aspect that you can find in electronic music that you don't find in others, like you said. But it's kind of cool that you called, Wendy. Like, I hope you're doing well. I haven't seen you in a while. Wendy, actually, I mean, other than the show that we did there, she had set me up with, like, my first out-of-town show ever, which was in Clemson.
Really?
When I was still living in the
South. See, Wendy. If it weren't for you, Wendy, I wouldn't have known him. So, okay, well, she just dropped there. So, sounded like she might have been on a cell phone or busy. So, thank you so much, Wendy, for calling. We're going to get you on here soon. And, that was just a very, very charming night and for me, and I think probably for everyone there. So, we got it just about 4 minutes left. So, are you going to go? Oh, I know. I was going to ask, are you coming to Atlanta?
Yes, actually, we are. We are doing a run with our friends, the Pony League. They're based out of Atlanta. Our first show of the run is September 20th at 529. And we'll be doing that. It'll be us, which is Eli Harrington, the Hamptones, the High Divers, and Pony League. And really looking forward to that. Pony League just got off a really good tour and doing a great job with their stuff, and And our friends, the high divers, like, they're always a great time. And so I think it's going to be a
cool.
good time.
Oh, Wendy's back. Hey, Wendy.
Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to last. Axel's having a storm right now, so who knows. But, yeah, I just wanted to send gratitude because I don't know if people know about the gathering, but it definitely came together in 4 weeks through community love and support. I decided I didn't want to do another festival, you know, unless everything was just clearly communicated. We weren't making any promises because we didn't have the budget. But we had the vision. And the thing is, we manifested a festival comparable to that back in 2011 when we did Synergy, which was the first transformational Starseek gathering in Asheville. So it was kind of along the same lines, you know, that we're able to do this this beautiful manifestation work together in community, and that's essentially what it's all about.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely, and we can dig it. And I'm just more impressed. I follow up with a lot of stuff that you do, see what you, and very impressed. I feel like you're sharing such a good force in the world and the universe, and we need it so much, Wendy. And we need what you're doing. We need what the Lion, his musicians put out. I was telling my husband the other night, I said, I love the fact that, you know, I believe that the music, something about like the reverberations of percussion, the percussion reverberation of an upright bass or the different tones, how they make people change, make your, give you comfort, give you understanding, give you sometimes a little happiness, a little buzz. And what you're doing with the gatherings and so forth, you're both people who are giving some good to the world. And gosh knows, we all need it right now. We all need some, like Elvis Costello, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding, and you guys are putting out the seeds for peace, love, and understanding, and good vibes and understanding, and I just think you're doing a great job, Wendy.
Well, thank you, sister. I mean, it's all about, you know, we're all one. It's really amazing to me how through this whole transformational process over the past, since 2005, when I had this huge awakening, just how I realized more and more that we are all one. And my message is, let's be center with everyone at the table. If we're all one, we've got to figure it out. And if we can't solve situations at our back door, then how are we going to bring peace on earth? And that's just, you know, what my heart resonates with, is trying to come up with a solution. And it, to me, there is a huge awakening going on with the younger generation through transformational electronic music. And it is happening, and I'm a big part of that. And, you know, I see how all the connectivity and the fibers with sound from organic to electronic is raising the vibration that he's gathering. And it's really, you know, it's happening because we're the ones we've been waiting for, and the time is now. And, you know, so I just have a lot of gratitude that I'm working with all nations, generations, and relations, because there's no difference. You know, we're all the same.
Amen, sister. Well, you know, just see, we're about to go. We're going to get you back on here as a guest sometime. Vali Harrington, thank you so much. And like I was saying, Wendy, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have known Vali. And
yeah,
Vali,
you.
You're going to be in Atlanta at 529 in Eastern.
Can I say this real quick? I'm just going to say, love and light, brother. I haven't talked to you in such a long time. It would be great to reconnect. Please reach
out.
Yeah,
it'd be great. Definitely.
All right.
Good to hear from you, Wendy.
And
all right. Blessings.
Well, you
blessings.
Know, people, and you were two of the people that made me say with the show, am I the luckiest girl or what, with the people that I meet?
Awesome, yes. Sister, thank you so
I
much
am.
For doing
all right.
What you do.
Oh, thank you, honey. You got to come back soon. And Vali is going to be, he's on tour. He's all over social media. You've seen him. He's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Reverb Nation, all kinds of places. And if you follow me, you'll see all of his stuff everywhere and where he's going, and you can hook into him. Vali, you have a parting word for people?
Yes. Thank you for listening. maturity is death, so keep growing and try not to be a jerk.
I like it. And I'm going to end with everybody's got to swing. Thank you so much. And remember,
thank you.
Adam Carey loves you.